Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
The scriptural injunctions that he gives us are awesome. Contend for the faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Stir up the gift. Are primarily motivating us to the maintenance of our faith. The loss or depletion of our original measure of faith can lead to dire results of fear, sickness, depression, demon possession, ultimately suicide. It's absolutely essential that you maintain the measure of faith that God gave us at birth. Suicide is at an epidemic rate in our society. It's up 30% across the board. 30% suicide's up. 60% among women, and that's because they have to live with men. But seriously, the highest rate of suicide is from 10 years old to 35. Suicide is epidemic. Say, why is that? Because we are bombarded with hopelessness. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I don't remember my mother and father ever presenting hopelessness to me. But there is a hopelessness propaganda that comes across your television and from the secularist, and it drains away your faith. And little children, when they should be at the exciting moment of their life, are now hopeless and contemplate suicide. What happens when a person has a complete faith eclipse? Saved or not, Christian or not, when a person totally loses all faith and all hope, they die one way or another. It's like a car running out of gas. You just coast off to the side of the road and stop. Even though everything is still there, you just do not have the fuel. Faith is the fuel of the human spirit. And without faith, the human spirit cannot exist. When Jesus announced that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, that is what he was addressing. Satan's number one target is our faith. If he can steal our faith, he can destroy and kill us. So is it any wonder the Bible declares that we should give the devil no place, no place at all, because he will steal your faith. The Bible is a book of promises and warnings. Warnings that evil friends will corrupt us. That what we see will defile us. What we hear will defeat us. What we say will destroy us. We must have a diet that is more spiritual than carnal, or our faith will be forfeited and our promises lost. We must have a faith source. We won't find it in the halls of higher learning, where they have bought into the adversarial lie that we came from nothing, that we evolved from a mystical amoeba on a slime-covered pond that has no basis for beginning. With no beginning, deity, we are taught and denied our creator, and that snuffs out the deity that is in us. You're started with a spark of deity. God breathed into us, and man became a living soul. But if they can get you to embrace the theory of the atheist, then that spirit and that glowing ember of life begins to ebb and go away. We're told to view ourselves as animals with no reason to live, or treat our fellow humans with respect and love. We're taught to embrace abortion and sinicide. You know what sinicide is? It's the killing of the elderly, which is becoming popular in philosophy. Euthanasia, taking out those people that are simply too old to be at the peak of that, just kill them. The killing of the elderly, totally destroying the reverence of life. Well, I want to tell you, I reject all of the secular hedonistic philosophies, for I have found the source of all faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men. I don't believe that you evolved. I don't believe that I evolved. I believe that every one of you, regardless of race, regardless of gender, were created in the image of Almighty God. That, my friend, is the best cure for racism. When we understand that we were all made in the image of God, you cannot hate one race because of the tone color. You realize we are all made in God's image. I've found a God that is a good God, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I have been able through the pages of this blackback book that I preach out of to put a name on that good God. His name is Jesus, the almighty, magnificent, magnanimous, eternal God of the universe is the God that I know. So I am not in danger of losing my faith. My faith is growing every day. I paraphrase the Apostle Paul when I say I am bound to thank God always for faith growing exceedingly in me. I join with the disciples, which once asked at the summation of Jesus' teaching, who can be saved? And they recognized that they were faith deficient when Jesus talked about forgiveness and repentance. And they looked in awe at him when they realized what a fragile thing it was. And they had this request, Lord, increase our faith. That is my prayer every day. My faith yesterday was awesome, but my faith yesterday will not meet today's challenges. I need to increase my faith every day. They went from question to declaration, increase our faith. Increase it from measurable faith that we were given at birth to immeasurable faith. Let us move from faith to faith. And Jesus granted that request. In the words of Jesus' half-brother, I like to refer to James that way. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That's my God. He is a God that giveth to me liberally and he upbraids me not. I'm not afraid to go to God and fearful that I will be upbraided for my lack. I know that God will meet my lack with greater proportions of faith. Praise God. And so I come strongly. I come boldly. I come excitedly to the throne of grace, knowing that increase is the very nature of God. Depletion is not God's nature, for the callings and gifts of God are without repentance. Whatever you've got from God, God wants to give you some more of it today. There is not a person sitting in this room that does not have a measure of faith. If you did not have some faith, you would not be here. Faith got you out of the bed. Faith put you in your automobile, and faith walked you through your door and set you in this pew. I'm not here to talk about your lack of faith. I'm here to talk about your potential increase in faith. Faith has brought you a long way, and faith has produced great things in your life. But in this last day hour, when we face an invigorated devil, we must have greater faith. We must pray as the disciples did, Lord, increase our faith. Faith that changes the landscape. I want faith that changes the landscape. When the apostles saw Jesus and what he could do, they said, increase our faith. And Jesus said, I'll increase your faith to where you can say to the sycamore tree, be plucked up and planted somewhere else. I'll change the landscape with your faith. I'll give you faith that whatsoever you shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and it will be cast into the sea, Jesus said. Jesus said, I will increase your faith. whatsoever things soever you desire. When you pray, you will believe and you will receive them. You shall have them. I want faith that uproots trees. I want faith that moves mountains. I want unrestricted faith. I want fabulous faith. I want unfeigned faith. I want unreasonable faith. I want immeasurable faith, silly faith, crazy faith. I want faith that the unbeliever mocks. I want faith that the doubter scorns at. Hear the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. And when I read the word of God, it expands my horizon of faith. And I say, with God, anything is possible. Nothing is impossible to him that will believe that God is. That he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There are some of you that have come to a certain plateau in your faith. But I challenge and invite you to take the next step up. The Bible talks about the steps of faith. Take one more step up and you'll see a brand new horizon. You'll see things you've never seen, receive things you've never had, and do things that you have never done. Faith cometh by hearing. Hear the word of God and it will show you the possibility. If you listen to the naysayer, the doubter, the skeptic, the atheist, the secularist, they will tell you that you are grasshoppers. The Bible said we were grasshoppers in our sight, and so we were grasshoppers in their sight. But God didn't send you to a promised land to be a grasshopper. You are to possess the land of promise. You are to be a giant killer. You are to be more than an overcomer. You're to be an ambassador for Christ. And Christ is telling you today, I want you to increase your faith. Increase the way you think. You're not a grasshopper. Get a mindset. I am now equipped with the Holy Spirit. For the last several months, it's been burned indelibly on my brain by the Holy Spirit, where Christ said, greater works than these shall you do. And I believe that he was preparing us for this day and age and time. The miracles that are recorded are great for Bible times, but we live in a new age, in a new time, and God has given us increased and new faith that will fit our generation perfectly. God is saying to you, wake up to the possibility of who you are. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. There's not a demon out of hell that has not already been defeated. There's not a devil that's going to come against you that cannot be brought under your heel with the word of God, the blood of Jesus, and the testimony of your lips. Wake up to who you are. You are a conqueror. You are a giant killer. You are a promise possessor. You are going to see things you've never seen, and God is going to raise you up to do things you've never done. Hallelujah. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. God, I want you to keep me busy preaching sermons that will increase people's faith, that they will rise to their possession. How dare a preacher stride to an American pulpit and condemn people today when the Bible said, Jesus said, I did not come to condemn you. I came to give you life and it more abundantly. I'm not here to condemn you. I am here to challenge you to increase your faith, to believe that your job is going to get better, that you're going to receive a raise this week, that your mother-in-law is going to be healed, that your father is going to come to Christ. Your children are going to be born again. You've got a new car in your garage and a new garage to put it in. You've got a testimony that you've never had before. You've got anointing that you've never had before. You're going to be used of God to lead people to Christ. There's going to be anointing in your fingertips. You're going to pray with people on your job and they are going to get so miraculously healed. They're going to become your partner in testimony, and you're going to win your office pool to Jesus Christ. It's all ahead of us. Increase our faith in Jesus' name. I've seen marvelous things, but I'm asking God for bigger things, and I don't care what it is. I bought a ranch from a man, and I believe he was probably the most ungodly man I ever met. but God gave him an affinity for me. For some reason, this ungodly man liked me. And when he was dying over on I-10 at that little hospital, the last thing he said was, "Get Steve Fender over here." And he lapsed into a coma, and his eyes rolling back in his head. And his God, not knowing wife, called me and said, "Steve," said, "my husband is dying. He's in a coma. The doctor said it's a matter of hours. Is there any way you can come to the hospital?" I said, "Right now." I got in my car and drove to that hospital quicker than I would to a dying saint, because I knew he was on the verge of hell. I walked into that hospital. It was surrounded by people that smelled like cigarette smoke and alcohol. It was an ungodly family. It was a family that did not know God. But friends, somehow, God gave me not just a measure of faith, but an increased faith for that moment. I said, "Folks, just gather around." And I stood there in that company of everyone a heathen. I didn't even do like Jesus did. I didn't put anybody out. I lifted my hands and began to pray in the Holy Ghost. There was not a sound in that room but me. They'd never heard of this. They'd never seen this. But they're desperate because my husband and my daddy is dying. And when I laid my hand on that old agnostic's head, all of a sudden his eyes rolled back down. His eyes opened and he said, "Thank you, Steve." He lifted his hands and began to praise God. And for years he came and sat on the back seat of this church next door. And when he died, I believe he had that great apparent way to get to God called Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what they say. They had said that he had a matter of hours to live. In a matter of hours, he was up and dressed, walking out of that hospital, and he lived for years. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what the lawyer says. It doesn't matter what your spouse says. If you will let God increase your faith, you will overcome every demon, every doubt, every fear, and every weapon formed against you. My God is able, and that God is in this room right now. He's strolling up and down the aisles just like he walked along the multitude at the seashore, and it's still the same question: will they be made whole? Will thou be made whole? Will thou be made whole? Somebody in this building needs to answer Christ and say, "Yes, on this Sunday morning, I'm going to be made whole. My blood pressure is going to be fixed. My leukemia is going to be gone. My sickle cell is dismissed. My cancer has retreated. I am healed. I am saved. I am empowered by my faith in the omnipotent God that manifests in his Son, Jesus Christ." Can you give him praise in this room today? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I was raised in a Pentecostal denomination. When I decided to start this church in 1975, they told me, said, "You can't start that church there. We already have two small congregations. They're afraid that you will cause membership to leave their church and come to yours, so we can't let you do that." Said, "We will give you a church in Dallas. We will sponsor you if you go to Grapevine, Texas, and begin a church financially." They made every kind of overture they could, but I said, "God called me to San Antonio." And for that, they said, "Well, you'll have to relinquish your membership with our denomination." I did. And when I did that, it just means the doors are closed. They don't fellowship across denominational lines. And so I've been that way for all these years. But about 10 years ago, one of their preachers was laying in the hospital in downtown San Antonio, and preachers had come through there, and they said, "Well, it's just his time to go, I guess." And when they called me, I was the last resort. I don't mind being the last resort if I'll be resorted to at all. I was the last resort. They weren't sure that I was qualified to pray because I didn't have the credentials of their denomination. But people get desperate when the death angel shows up. And so they asked me to pray. And when I walked in beside that man's bedside, I did not know him. He was twice his normal size. His face was swollen. His body was swollen. He was unconscious. And when I began to pray, I mean, just like you would poke a balloon, his face began to go down. His body began to recede. He came out of that unconsciousness and said, "Brother Fender, how are you doing?" Praise God, within 24 hours, he was back in his home right here in New Braunfels, Texas, and lived a good number of years, even though he was an elderly man. I'm going to tell you, friend, I've got faith. I've got faith. I believe God can do anything for anybody. And I have come to the place that I don't even believe your sin is going to keep you from receiving a miracle, because I believe that God's blood is greater than your sin. I believe that God's power is greater than your failure. I believe that God's mercy is greater than your mistake. And he's in this room right now. And don't let the devil say God's not going to heal you because of your past. Devil, you're a liar. God's going to heal me because of Jesus' past, present, and future. And my God doesn't hold grudges. He said, "He that is heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest." If you're in this room today, it doesn't matter what's in your past. If you have a need, if you have got the faith to acknowledge that God is, and he's a wonderful God, and he is able, and he is supernatural, and he is a miracle worker, and his name is Jesus, and he loves me. He fought devils and demons in hell to get to me, and that's how much he loves me. And so he's going to fight demons of doubt and devils of hatred and bias, and he's walking to my pew. He's coming to my row. He's looking down at me. And his message is not condemnation. His message is, "I love you. Will you believe? And if you believe, you will receive." God wants to heal somebody sitting in these pews right now. God wants to baptize somebody in the Holy Spirit in these pews right now. God wants to break the chains for somebody right now. He's in this room. He's in this room. And my faith is increasing every moment. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shikoromaha. I feel the anointing of the Lord coming into this building, and the anointing will break every yoke. I feel that anointing, praise God. Oh, God will give you strength. God will renew your years. God will heal your body. The devil is a liar, and God is truth, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I was preaching in Vidor, Texas, and they brought a woman into that service that had an epileptic seizure every hour on the hour, at least one every hour, and she had had it for a decade. And while I was preaching, the Holy Spirit came on me. I run to the back of the building and laid hands on her. She went under the pew, and when she came up, she was speaking with tongues. And when she walked out of that building, I kept track of her. She never had another seizure again. Friend, I'm telling you, my God is bigger than cancer. He's bigger than epilepsy. He's bigger than anything that the devil's trying to put on you. And you need to say, "Yay, Lord, my faith is big. I believe you can tear down the sycamore tree and move the mountain. I believe you can change the landscape. I believe, God, you can empower me. The Holy Ghost is in this house. Jesus is in this room, and he's here today to perform miracles. And if you need a miracle, take off the shroud of doubt and reach out and get the glorious cape of faith and embrace it and say, I believe God is going to work a miracle in my life, in my body, in the name of Jesus Christ today, even now. Faith now, faith is now, faith is in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory, hallelujah. In Peoria, Illinois, I saw a woman completely deaf, healed in that service, and she wasn't even a Christian until later. It doesn't matter about your background. We base not our faith on your perfection. We base it upon the performance of Jesus Christ. On that cross, he took every sin, and it took every sickness. And he said, believe me and you shall receive. He's in this room right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God's going to get going to work miracles. Get ready. Get ready for your miracle. Get ready for your miracle. Begin to confess your miracle. Begin to confess your miracle. Hallelujah, hallelujah.